everyone, it's Sarah here with a super special bonus episode. At the end of July, me and Cattell made our way up to Vancouver, Canada to host a live variety show during the 2018 Design and Content Conference. Yes, that's right, we are international now. Even though we missed Jen terribly, the show was spectacular. And it was our very first time running a live NYG event, so we weren't sure what to expect. But we learned so much and we cannot wait to do it again. With Jen next time. Now, like I said, it was the first time we did something like this, so we weren't sure how it was going to go. But we actually think it turned out pretty good. And we loved so much of what we talked about on this episode that we thought you might like it too. So in this bonus app, you will hear some short interviews with two speakers at the conference, Yesenia Perez-Cruz and Tara Codrington. And both of them are super open and fun and inspiring. You're gonna love it. Plus, we've got audience fuck yas, live career advice, and a ton more. So listen up if you want to hear about peeing in a jumpsuit, emailing with Christina Aguilera's mom, editing footage of crop dusting in Saskatchewan, and rocking a sweet feminist boob necklace.
Hello.
My name is Sarah Wachter-Betcher, and many of you probably already saw me on stage. And this here is Cattell Ledoux.
Hello. Hi. Hi. I don't know if this is the right time to tell you this. But I have, stage fright a little bit.
So, it's okay. I get on stage a lot.
You're so good at it.
And here's what I want you to know.
Okay.
Everybody feels like they have to poop before.
Okay, okay, all right, good.
It's totally normal.
Okay, so, all right, then it's all gonna be good.
It's gonna be okay.
Okay, all right,
okay, fine. So Cattell and I will say this, we are only two-thirds of the team behind Know You Go.
Yes.
We have a third co-host named Jen Lucas. Jen is phenomenal. But Jen couldn't make it all the way out here from Philadelphia because she's currently pregnant.
With her second babe.
And she's got a lot going on. So we're going to have to try to fill the void a little bit because I will tell you, she's like the most energetic. You think I had some energy today? She's like the most energetic.
She is. She's really awesome.
So we're going to try to do the most on her behalf.
Yeah. I sent her a photo of the setup and I was just like, we miss you so much, but look at what we're doing. So
we have tote bags. So, okay. So here's the deal with Know You Go. It is a podcast that is about having badass women in your corner, aka us. And on the show, we talk a lot about the issues that are facing people at work. Mm-hmm. And we mostly talk to women and non-binary folks about the issues that they specifically are facing. And so we interview a lot of guests. We get to talk to some freaking awesome people. And we also just have a super good time. This is definitely also what we wear in podcasting, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredibly hard to get in and out of jumpsuits.
Yeah. 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 When I'm at home, I like to wear outfits that make it very hard to pee. I feel like that's how you like relax, right?
Yeah. Not good for traveling or podcasting or just but drinking too much wine.
You look great though.
Yeah, I mean, ditto. Yeah.
All right. So tonight we are not doing like really a podcast, but we're doing kind of a podcast inspired evening.
Yeah.
Where we want to make sure that it's a fun event for everybody, and we are going to have some audience participation and some prizes, and we are going to have some real talk.
Yes.
So the first person that I am excited to bring up is somebody I have known for a long time. Her name is Yesenia Perez-Cruz. You already met her. She gave an awesome talk. And in fact, one of the things that I loved about her talk was how composed she was and how calm she seemed. And I was like,
How does she do it?
Because I will tell you that I do not feel like that when I'm going on stage. So Yesenia, we'd love to welcome you to the stage.
Yay! Woo!
So my first question for you is I would love for you to tell the audience here, how did you get into tech and design work?
Yeah, so let's see. When I was a child, I was a bit of a loner. And I didn't really find like my friend space until I was like 13. And we had these like discs back in the day that helped you log on to the internet. And so that's what I used, and this old compact computer in my parents' room. And I, I was 14. I pretended to be 18 so that I could become a webmaster for a Christina Aguilera fan site. For a network of fan sites called FanHost. And so it was like, when I say that I ran a Christina Aguilera fan site, people think like, oh, she just ran like a little GeoCities site or had like an Angel Fire site. But no, I was like contacting people for exclusives, for HQ photos whenever they came out and uploading them to my FTP and working on the layouts. And so that was how I kind of got into the web, and I taught myself how to code and how to create content, honestly, for websites. I emailed with her mom once.
That oh my God.
Yeah. She told me she liked my name.
I mean, don't we all?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's how I got started. I didn't really consider web design as a legitimate career, though. I had wanted to, when I was in high school, I wanted to major in English or writing, but I took a graphic design class my senior year, and I was like, oh, I like this, and I ended up majoring in graphic design, but I went to a print-based program, but I did a co-op that was much more digital design-based, and that's how I ended up working in the web design industry.
So, like, there's a lot in there that I love. First of all, Christina Aguilera.
And her mom.
My queen.
And also her mom. That's great. I love
also
that.
Also a queen.
That's so good. The other thing I was wondering, was there like Canada Online discs? Like we had America Online?
Oh. That's a... No?
Oh, you were better than those discs? So we've all... we've all heard a little bit about your very early days doing design and technology work, which again, like, real great, like, extremely good. So the other thing I was curious about is, like, okay, so from there, you got this co-op, you're working in web stuff, and I'm really curious how you went from there to ending up, you're at Vox now as a design director, and you're doing some, like, super big badass stuff there. If you all saw that today, right? Like, talking about design systems for some huge projects for an organization that is, like, big and complicated. How'd you make all that happen?
I think I just was always very focused on what I wanted. And I think that every time in my career where I felt stuck or I felt like I'm not making progress, I've just wondered what is the next thing that I have to do to unstick myself. I really don't do well when I feel stuck or I feel like I'm being half-hearted about something. I'm kind of either or. So I'm either going, or if I'm not going, I'm just like, I can be real lazy and not get anything done. And so when I get into patches like that, then I'm like, all right, what do I need? And so let's see, I was working at a company called Happy Cog for about 5 years. That's how I started out. I worked for a really wide variety of clients and doing agency work. I moved on from there. I worked for another agency for a year. Honestly, I got super burnt out on agency work, and it was the nature of the work. But the other thing that I was dealing with was I was coming up against biases from my internal team and the people that were working at the company, but also the clients. And so I would be leading a project at a company, and the client would always want to pair me with one of the male designers on their team. And my like final breaking point with agency work was I was working for this bank, and I went there to present like all of this work. And when I got there to give the presentation, the project manager was like, oh, you're so young and cute. Everyone wants to like be on the team with you. And I was just like, I can't.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So I went to Vox because they really take their code of conduct seriously. They really, it's really a culture that takes things like microaggressions seriously. Mansplaining is not allowed per the code of conduct. And I thought that being in-house, I could kind of get away from some of the like political stuff that I was dealing with working at agencies.
So, like, okay, that's so awesome. I have, like, a lot of stuff that I would love to chat more about. But I think one of the things that really strikes me about that is kind of that like constant goal setting, and also that sort of like saying like I gotta look out for myself and find a place that's gonna actually support me and like where you can grow. Also, it's pretty bullshit that people were like, oh, you're so cute, people want to be on your team. People should want to be on your team because you're actually like so good at your job. Because I think the one thing that Jesenia didn't mention is that she's just extremely talented. Like her work is just so good. Okay, what's next? I could like fawn over Jesenia for a while, but I won't do that.
We do that on the show too. We mm-hmm. you know, we just really appreciate very hard. So, when was the first time you gave a talk, and what made you do it, and like how did it go?
The first talk I ever gave was just like a panel, like an alumni panel for my college. And all I had to say was like my name and what I had done since I graduated. And I had only graduated like 2 years before. And I like had such a hard time even, I was so nervous and I had such a hard time even saying that. But the reason why I pursued speaking was because when I was working, I had a pretty generous professional budget, so I got to go to a lot of conferences. And the first one I went to, I was like, oh yeah, this content is so great and I'm so inspired. There was no diversity in the speaker lineup, like at all. It was like 12 men and one white woman. And I was just super bummed out. I didn't even go to the like after party. I just like went to my hotel room and was like, do I want to be part of this industry where I can't be, someone that looks like me can't be seen as a leader? And then I just started kind of working on speaking because I was like, well, maybe I can provide some representation and I can like pitch my talks and get out there and hopefully help to impact things. Just I'm one person, but maybe I could help to impact things. So that's how I got into speaking.
That's awesome. Did your first experience with it go, like, were you like, okay, that went all right, I can do it?
It took a little bit of time. It took, yeah, like 4 or 5 times for me to be like, okay. It was probably like about 2 years before I was like, okay, I figured out how to feel comfortable and what my voice is. I think a lot of what I was doing before was comparing myself to other people, especially very energetic speakers. because I'm like, I can't do that. I can't be up there and have a lot of stamina. So just figuring out what worked for me and what made me feel comfortable and energized when I was up on a stage helped me.
I think it's really reassuring to know that you didn't necessarily feel like a natural. I didn't feel like a natural either. You know, it's really hard. And I think just like anything, you have to practice it. But I think something that really deters people from speaking is that sense that they're like, oh, I don't feel naturally good at this, so therefore it must not be for me. And it's like, man, I was naturally very bad at almost everything I ever tried to do the first time.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that when there's designers on my team that are interested in getting out there, but they're super nervous or they feel like, oh, but I'm not naturally good at presenting, I think people can really shy away from points in time where they feel discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I think I've learned that just trying it out, maybe the discomfort is there, but you'll get to a point where you're better off afterwards. So, you know, it totally did not feel natural to me at all.
So I think it's time to move to our lightning round. Are you ready? It's not going to be too scary. So the way this is going to work, we're going to ask you a few questions. It's going to be rapid fire. We're going to ask for like your quick gut level response, okay? You ready to go?
Sure.
All right. Question one. Ideal walk-on music, Genie in a Bottle or What a Girl Wants?
What a Girl Wants, yeah. A little more energetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, you are a boss speaker and a boss. So what's one thing that you do when you need to feel confident on work, on stage, in life?
I love power posing, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. It really works.
It really works.
Yeah.
All right, best post-talk treat. Donuts or ice cream?
That's tough. You know, I prefer carbs after a talk. Usually it's ice cream, but after a talk, I like my carbs, so I'll go with donuts. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's not really a wrong answer there.
It's very true.
Typical me overthinks it, yeah.
So, final question. If you could tell your past self one thing, what would it be?
Like, it'll be okay. Like, don't stress out so much.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I would love to tell my past self that, too.
Yeah. Also, I would love to tell, like, my current self.
I was going
to
say current self, yeah.
Current self.
Oh, my gosh.
Future self.
Yeah. Jasenia, you are a joy. Thank you so much for coming up tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Jasenia's given a bunch of talks over the years, and she's pretty comfortable in what she's doing on stage, even if she didn't feel like a natural. But we thought it would be really interesting to also bring somebody up on stage to talk about what they do and why they do it and how it all came to be, who's maybe earlier in their speaking career. Like, maybe they gave a lightning talk today. Like, maybe they got real nervous doing it. So next up on the stage, we have Tara Coddington.
Woo!
So, woo! Yeah!
Yeah! The mic's not shaking this time, and I feel a little bit calmer. I've had a glass of wine.
Isn't this so, like, comfy? It's great.
I like this.
Yeah. As Jasenia mentioned, right? Like, the first four or five times get better and better. So, yeah, this time number two on stage is a little bit better, right?
Yeah, it feels a little bit better. But I feel like I do much better with impromptu. The presentation part is very daunting.
I agree. Yeah. Very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
So one of the things I really loved about your talk was, first off, brought the energy. Second, salt and pepper. Third, I just loved the way you actually stopped and acknowledged sort of like the anxiety you were under, because it was like so beautiful and human to just take that moment and be like, oh my gosh, I'm shaking.
Yeah.
And to let that exist, because I think like the audience is rooting for you, and then they rooted for you even harder. So it's fucking great.
It was very nice. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
It meant so much. I was like, oh gosh, they can see it. I'm like, oh, they're with me. They're with me.
Yes.
So you gave a lightning talk. Those are hard. Those are hard because they're short, like really short, and you have to pack a lot in. What made you want to get up on stage?
That's a good. I'm still questioning that.
Me too. I'm going to be honest with you.
Like, why? Why am I doing this? Is this what I want? Is this what? What made me decide that I could do? That I thought that I could do this? I think similar to what Yesenia was saying. I think one of my things that has always stopped me in my life is not pursuing something because I didn't see myself in it. And I would see that, I was like, oh, I really want to do that one thing, but I don't see anyone who looks like me or similar to me up there doing it. And I am not strong enough to take on that emotional labor to go and be the first one to forge the way. And then, or thinking, oh, am I really passionate about that I can take on that emotional labor? And I've kind of come to a point where I've think, who cares? Just do it. Just do it. If you want to see yourself up there, go
Yes.
do it. And it's like, if I could be, and I think of like past Tara. And I was like, okay, do this for past Tara. You'll do it for past Tara. This will be, you know, because there's going to be other little Taras, but there are no other little Taras. sort of idea of just maybe there's someone who also has those feelings out there that's like, I can do that too. Okay, yeah, all right.
Absolutely. Did you do anything to, like, prepare for it?
I did not look at any of the resumes of anybody else who was speaking because that is so intimidating. Because I'm not the director of anything. I'm not the founder of anything. I'm not a manager of anything. I work at a small city, a small-ish city. I was like, if they hear me say that, they're like, no, we're going to be big soon. But I work for a city, and I just work on a web team. Like, who am I? Like, what can I do? So I was like, okay, you know what? Don't get intimidated. You know that you're going to get intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. You know that if you do it, it's just, even if I can think of all the reasons why it doesn't matter, just don't. I was like, that was the number one thing that I did, was like, don't look up anybody's resume until afterwards.
I love that advice so much. That's so good.
And it's over. You feel good.
I feel all right about
it. All right. We're going to work on that. We're going to work on that. Yeah. It's going to get you to great.
You feel good.
It's going to take a while to sort of like that to digest.
Yeah.
But the feedback's been really nice. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah.
So, okay. You mentioned that, you know, you're just some person working in some web team. You've only been doing the kind of content strategy related stuff for a couple of years, right? So we saw that you used to work in TV. What was that like?
Oh, that was, it was a lot of work. And I mean, it was, there were moments of it that I really, really loved. And you're like, oh, this is really good. Like, especially I worked on a lot of sort of, they want to call it documentaries, lifestyle television, sort of Canadian lifestyle television. Small tangent, the first show that I ever worked on was logging footage of crop dusters in Saskatchewan.
We have questions.
This is the most Canadian thing I've heard.
It was, yeah, very good. I watched hours of footage of people in a plane and like looking for any sort of facial expressions because they're like, oh, gotta add excitement to crop dusting in Saskatchewan. I started off there, and then as I progressed, you work long hours. Like, it's like you start it. I mean, I think it's like a lot of creative industries. They're like, you got to put in your time. You got to be here Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you are be on call. You're going to make very little money, but it's all worth it because one day you'll be like a big editor. So I worked in post-production, and I just found it emotionally draining, and there was not a lot of diversity. There was a lot of blatant sexism and racism that if you called it out, it was sort of like, well, you're just not tough enough. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do I love this much? Is this what I want to be a part of? No.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to change careers. I'll go into tech.
Oh. Oh
my gosh. You know, I think one of the like biggest lessons that I've probably learned that I will honestly say I learned like way later in my adult life than I feel like I should have is like that first up, like anybody who says, oh, you're too sensitive, not tough enough, or whatever, it's usually trying to do something toxic. Mm-hmm. Second, like being sensitive is okay. Like sensitive people are fine and we need them. Okay, so we heard about your interview series.
Yes.
When you were being introduced today.
Yes.
We should be friends already.
Yes.
No, that was just what I was saying to you.
Oh, yeah, we should be friends already. Okay, I like that.
So can you tell us more about that? Because also, we would like you to know that we should be friends already.
Okay, I like this. Yes, we should all be friends. So I realized that, we should be friends already. But when I went to go buy the donut main name, I kind of forgot about what the name was. And so it's called Let's Be Friends Already. Also because I was like, yeah. And then I showed it to a friend and she's like, wasn't it? Hey, we should be friends. I was like, oh, I totally forgot. I was just so excited. But on that other note, I don't like the word should because of all sorts of kind of, you know, yeah, it should be, it shouldn't, no. So I was like, it's better that I drop that. But so in changing careers, I realized that I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. And I wanted to talk to people. And the more I started talking to people and sort of opening up about that, they also shared those same sort of like, oh God, I still don't know what I'm doing. Oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to document this in somehow. And the reason for it being a website is because I like to scroll things at work. Sorry, work, you didn't hear this. I like to scroll things at work and just like check out websites. I was like, yeah, okay, if that's a format that I like, that's probably a format that other people will like. So I hope it will go well. I have 4 people that I've interviewed, 2 of which I am related to, but it's still going really well.
Wait, so, they weren't already your friends though?
They were my friends, okay. Yes, this is true. But you know, let's be better friends already. So if anyone's interested, let's be friends already.com and contact me and we can talk about careers and work and all that other stuff.
I love that. I mean, we'll do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. We would like to.
Yes, please.
Let's be friends. Should we go to lightning round?
Oh, gosh.
I think it's time for the lightning round.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Take it away, Cattell.
All right. So we did some research.
Oh, wait, I'm afraid of what you found.
You're on IMDb.
I am on IMDb.
I'm a big IMDb user. I just look everything up, and I always think I know who an actor is or like whose voice it is on animated movies. I don't. And then I just, yeah. Anyway, so you worked on a show called World's Weirdest Restaurants.
I did, yes.
What's the weirdest restaurant?
Oh, that's a good one. So the first two, well, I've got two. There's two, I don't remember the names of them, but there was one, And I don't remember where they were, which is unfortunate, but I'm sure if you like research enough, you could find them pretty easily. One was where there was a monkey as the server, which is adorable but also cruel, so I felt really weird about that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is the one where you get served the food in like a toilet. Yeah, you know this one. Yeah,
no.
I was like,
hard pass.
No. Nope.
Yeah, it's like, you're like, maybe? No, I don't think so. Do it for the gram. No, I don't think so.
No.
So, next question. You also worked on shows such as Timber Kings and Yukon Gold.
That's right.
Would you rather have your next career be mining for gold or building log cabins?
Building log cabins.
Right.
That was such a quick answer.
I can survive the apocalypse this way.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Okay. Another would you rather. Would you rather do another lightning talk or a live TV interview?
Live TV interview?
You're brave.
Well, because I feel like there's less pressure because you're like, oh, well, it's like, it's spontaneous. So you're like, oh, if I mess up an answer or I mess up a thing, it's like, well, I wasn't prepared. Where it's, I feel there's so much more pressure if you have to be prepared. Like, you're like, do it right. You had all this time to practice. Why did you mess up?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I like that little internal Tara.
Yeah, it's always there.
All right. So last question.
Okay.
Actually, same question as Yesenia. If you could tell your past self one thing, what would it be?
Who cares? Do it anyway.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Woo! All right. Tara, thank you so much
for being here
tonight. Oh, okay. We're doing more hugs.
All right.
Woo! Tara. Woo! Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you so much to Tara and Yesenia for chatting with us and for being part of that. We now have a very different kind of segment. It's a segment that a few more of you may be participating in. It is a segment that may come with some fabulous prizes. By fabulous, I do mean a tote bag filled with goodies. That would be our advice segment. All right. Question one is from Pauline D. If Pauline D is in the house, we'd love to have you come up. Yeah? Question Pauline has is, I'm having a hard time juggling between my main job and my side hustle. I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
Any tips? So I would love to ask a quick follow-up question, which is, what's that side hustle? Can you tell us?
I'm a project manager, so it's my main job. But I started to work on social media and advising a few local businesses. So I really enjoy it because it's, you know, more making things and being creative. And it takes a lot of time, I just realized.
Yeah.
And I'm having a lot of time, you know, like, I still want to be good at my job, but I still want to do these things on the sides. And you seem to be doing so many things at the same time.
And I'm super balanced and calm all the time, too. So,
yeah, hence my question.
Yeah. Okay, that is an excellent question. And honestly, this is something we talk about all the time on the show and, like, sort of as we're working on the show. I think it's really hard to be able to balance all the things that we want to do, especially if you want to do a lot of stuff. You know, you're not just saying, like, I want to exchange one for the other. You're saying, like, how do I find some of that balance? I think one of the biggest things that we do is just, like, give ourselves some breaks. I think that's a huge piece of it. We take a few weeks off between chunks of episodes because it allows us to kind of catch our breath and do a lot of prep work and, like, get some things organized so we don't always feel like we're like this. And I think that that's really helped us also kind of, like, recalibrate and take stock. I feel like those moments of taking stock matter a lot, where you're like, okay, are you giving yourself a pause to reflect on how has it been going over the past month or 3 months or whatever you decide a good period of time is, and say, okay, is that feeling good or bad? Is it feeling like too much one way or the other? Are there things that I'm, like, kind of leaving behind, not getting done? Are there things that I'm, like, if I look at that last 3 month period, let's say, are there things that I did that I'm really excited about that, like, I think back on and I'm like, that was great? And are there things where I'm like, that sucked? And then use that as a guide to help plan what's going forward. I think a lot of times we don't give ourselves those kind of moments of reflection and then thinking about what we want to change. And I think that's a huge piece because I don't think there's any, like, easy answer about how much is right for you. And it's probably going to change at different times.
Yeah. It's also hard when you're just checking in with yourself. But I try to slow down and do that a lot because I'm kind of like, I want to keep doing all of these things and do them quickly and, you know, with... just whatever energy I have left, but sometimes I don't have that energy and I just like have to remind myself that that's okay. And I think just balancing what you're doing in your, you know, in your side hustle and what you're doing to like, you know, the day to day is, it's okay to balance that until you figure out like what you want to spend more energy on.
Do we help?
Yeah. Yes, a lot. Yes. Thank you so much.
Did it. All right.
Thank you.
All right, so we have a beautiful prize for you. Thank you. Question number two. How do you react positively to toxicity that you encounter? That question is from Iris K. Is Iris K in the house? We're going to answer it either way, but if she's here, she can get a prize. Okay. All right, Iris. Come on up. Number one. Do you have to be positive when people are toxic? I don't know if I believe that.
You definitely not always.
Look, we all got to be able to feel our feelings. And sometimes our feelings are negative.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Now, is your question, though, is one of the issues that you feel like in the moment you're in a scenario where you need to kind of like keep your head together? Sometimes, yeah. So one of the things that's really hard about that, I think, is like when you have an emotional reaction, like you're at work and you don't want to like blow up at your boss or something, right? There are things that you could do. You're like, that's going to be risky. I think it can be hard to figure out how to channel that. I think part of it is just acknowledging that's hard. Toxicity is not your fault. And it's okay for you to have all those feelings about it. And then to make sure if you're able to kind of say like, okay, I'm going to set that aside for the moment. Are you giving yourself the space to have those feelings later, and are you finding like people, communities that you can talk about that stuff with? For me, one of the biggest things that helped me was when I started having kind of like my back channels of other people who I trusted who were kind of working in similar fields as me or had some similar experiences to me, because then I had a place to vent about that stuff, and then it felt like I could process and I could figure out what I wanted to do or if I wanted to do anything at all.
Yeah, I think just giving yourself the space, like Sarah said, and I find, and I don't do this as much as I would like to, when I'm in the moment in those situations, it's totally okay to be like, you know what, I don't know how I feel about this, I need to process it, and like, that's okay. People need to give you space for that, and you don't have to be positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's also helpful to, you know, to think about like, based off of who the person is and what the scenario is this somebody that you can be honest with without feeling like you're putting yourself in like a really vulnerable situation? Like, if you feel like you might get fired if you're honest about the toxicity, then I totally get it, right? Sometimes it's like, I have to set that aside. But I do think it's important to take a moment and also think like, is there an opportunity for me to say something here and like, to be able to like reflect on it and think about what you might want to say? And that's hard to do in the moment when some shit happens. But sometimes it's possible to be able to come back and say, hey, when this happened, here's how I felt. Like, this really made me feel this way. And to be able to talk about what you want to see different. It's hard, you know, when that kind of stuff is happening, it's also emotions run high and people can get defensive. And I think it's also totally fair if you decide you're not going to engage with it and you're just going to find some other outlet for it. The only thing I think is super crucial is like, everybody needs to find that space to feel their feelings and to have like some kind of support in doing that and to figure out what that looks like for you so that you don't carry that around with you. Question number three. Question number three is anonymous. Anonymous, sadly, you will not be able to get a prize tonight, but I hope that we can help you because it sounds like you're in kind of a pickle. I want to quit my job since it's not what was mentioned to me during the interview. Do you think that's a good move? What should I say to my next future employer? Man, we've all been there.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to be. You end up in a position that you're excited about, and then it is not what you wanted, and then there you are. I think the first thing I would say is, if you know it's not right for you, and it's never going to be right for you, then it's time to figure out, okay, can I leave now? And if not, what would need to be true for me to be able to leave? I was just having this conversation the other day, and one of the things that somebody said to me was, it's really easy to kind of stay in bad environments because you don't really have a plan for getting out, and because you're kind of like, you get yourself into a mode where you're always waiting for something, right? And so what she talked about was this need to identify What are the goals that you need to hit that would allow you to feel like you could leave? And it could be super practical, like, you know what? This is my first time where I'm a manager. I need to stay in a position where I'm a manager for 9 months for me to feel comfortable feeling like I get another manager job. But what it does is it gives you these things where you can check in with yourself and say, okay, have the things that I needed to accomplish been accomplished so that you can give yourself those moments where you say, now it is time. I think that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, and like you said, put a plan together and know that, you know, finding whatever is next for you is going to take some time, and that's totally okay. But plan for that, because you're going to have to spend time on it.
Yeah, I think a big piece of it is, like, when you're going out and you're looking for a job, it often feels like you feel like you're not in a position of power. Most of us do. I mean, like, maybe some of you feel like when you're looking for a job, it's like everybody wants to hire you, and you're just, like, kind of taking your pick. Most people don't feel like that most of the time. Even if they're in a field where there are lots of jobs, it does not feel that way. You tend to feel like you're in this position where you're not very powerful. And how much power you have in those scenarios is going to vary. And I don't know in this particular scenario. But I do think it is important to remember, like, what am I trying to get out of this? And, like, what do I need in an employer? And to make sure you're asking some tough questions of them, and also that you're giving that time to, like, synthesize, okay, here are the things that I heard. Did red flags come up? Is this going to solve my problems for me?
Yeah, you have to interview them a lot of the time because, yeah, it needs to be a fit on both sides.
The last part of that question is, what do I say to my future employer about the fact that, like, I was leaving this job that wasn't a fit?
I mean, I think you have to ask a lot of questions when you go find that new thing. And you have to ask questions that are going to get you, you know, answers that are clarifying for what you want to be doing with them, and make sure that it really is the right fit.
I also think, like, it's okay to tell a potential employer that you're leaving a position because it wasn't right. Like, it's okay to be honest. I mean, I think some version of honest, right? Like, you decide which version of honest you want to be. But I think it's okay to go in and say, like, hey, I was hired to do A, B, and C that were really important to me. And I found that that's not really where the position is. And I see that in this role, it sounds like A, B, and C are crucial to this role and crucial to your organization. And so I'm looking for a place where I can do that because I'm really good at that. That's okay. Lots of people have been there, right? Like, the person who is interviewing you has probably also been in that same position in their life if they've had multiple jobs. Like, they've also been in a job that felt like a bait and switch or that didn't end up being a good fit for them. And people can understand that. And honestly, the other thing is, if they're super shitty about that,
yeah, if they don't understand that, then
maybe they're not good people to work for.
Yeah, totally.
All right. We got time for, I think, a couple more questions, okay. Right? Okay. So, I'm a fan, like a fan. That's not a question, but thank you. Okay, there is a question though. Where do I start if I want to make diversity and inclusion a career? That is from Kasra F. First up, awesome. Yeah. Heck yeah.
I mean, you're in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people here, I think, feel the same. Do you have a sense of in what way you want that to be true? Do you want that to be like, I want my job to be the diversity and inclusion officer in a company? Or more like, I want to have that built into like the fabric of my role, which is still in design or whatever?
The ideal way would for it to be built in the in my current role. I work at a university, University of British Columbia, as a web specialist. So it would be perfect because my department works to recruit undergraduate prospective students. So what a better way to add it into my current hat?
Yeah. Can you bring it up to your company? Have you ever tried? Okay. So I think step one is to think like, okay, are there people that I trust here who I feel like I could bring this up to? And then how might I do that? You know, I always try to recommend to people that they can map out some of that. It's kind of like, how are you going to make a case for that? It doesn't have to be super formal, but I think writing it down will give you a lot of clarity where it's like, what it is that you want, what problems is it going to solve for them? Because they also want to know, like, why is this a benefit for the organization? And I think that would be, like, probably the first place I would start.
Okay. Yeah, and if you can get, like Sarah said, if you can get some people on board with that idea and that mission, then it's not, like, just, you know, hey, like, I have this thought. I think it just, like, bolsters that. And it has, you know, it means more people are talking about it. You should start a diversity and inclusion team.
You know, the other thing I would say is, like, if you can identify people out in the world who are doing some of the things that you want to be doing more of, reach out to them. I mean, and they don't necessarily owe you an endless amount of their time. I mean, sometimes, you know, people get asked a ton of questions. It was like 7,000 coffee meetings, you know, it could be hard. But I do think that if this is something you care about, if you find the people who care about that too, I bet you that they are going to be really receptive to wanting to chat with you and tell you more about how they got to where they are and introduce you to people. I mean, honestly, some of the best things that have ever happened to me in my career are because I had a good conversation with somebody and they were kind enough to introduce me to people they knew who would be helpful to me in that moment. Again, write it down, like make some bullet points about like, what do you want to say to them about what you're looking for and what you're hoping to learn from them, or like why you would like to have a conversation with them? I think that you may find that you learn a ton that way that gives you even more clarity about where you're going.
Sure. Perfect. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh boy. All right. Next question. What is a professional way to ask for what you want? Follow up to that question. For example, how could I rephrase, may I have a prize for this question? Hey, wait a second.
Hey.
Shantae T, are you here? Yeah, you are. You know what? You know what I like? You know what I like about this question? No shame.
That's
you
right.
Ask for what you want.
That's right.
I like it.
I mean, you're halfway there.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah,
you exactly. did it.
Coming from a background from the arts and getting into the career field is just building off of, I guess, soft skills. And so just, of course, that, I guess from my course teaching, that aspect of being in the field was not, I guess, had the opportunity to learn that. So I guess also just in relation to what type of things is also maybe things catered to make my job easier. So maybe not things specifically that can impact a broad, I guess, teams, variety of teams, maybe mm-hmm. more specifically in my role.
I think you'd be surprised if you think about the things that you want and that you want to ask for, they probably do benefit other people. Or if you think about it and you kind of like brainstorm, how could this benefit other people? That's such a great like sort of in and a way to start talking about it. And then like, if it does, then you can be like, hey, let's mm-hmm. do this thing.
I mean, ultimately, everyone wants to be understood, right? Yeah. Everybody wants to feel seen. And so if you're communicating about something that you want to change in your organization or in your role, or if you're communicating something that you want to see happen or something that's important to you, if you can find a way to help people like to feel like what you're talking about is something that makes them feel understood, it goes so far. And so doing that little bit of legwork of saying like, okay, well, what matters to them? What's hard for them right now? And how can I get on more of the same page with them? I think that that might be a huge way. Because I feel like it's not just like, what's the professional way? It's more like, what's the framing that's going to make them feel comfortable? And I think when you identify that, then that's where it really goes far.
Yeah.
Did we help?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. All right. We can do right. one more.
Okay. One more.
Last question of the night. I heard a woman berating about feminism to another woman. And in the past, I've spoken up, but then I felt like an asshole because, twist, I'm a man. Mansplaining feminism to a woman. What's a better way? This question comes to you from Leslie, not a woman, C. Leslie, are you available? Are you able to come on up?
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
It's a little bit of a tough one because I agree with you, right? Like, you don't really want to hear somebody yelling at some other woman about how feminism is terrible. You don't want to be that guy. So what do you do? I think number one, I would separate out a couple of things that get like kind of intertwined here. One is like, if this person is behaving in a way that is inappropriate, they're berating somebody, if it's like kind of harassment, if they're yelling, if it's aggressive, if there's things about it that are inappropriate, I think that step one is to kind of like separate out the inappropriate behavior from the question about education. And to say, okay, does the person who this is happening to need help? Is this a person who, like, you know, do you have a relationship with either party? And I think that that can help you feel it out. Because if you understand the context of the situation and can get a read on the other person's discomfort with it, I think that that's a good step to figure out, should I intervene in stopping the behavior? But that's only the first part.
Yeah.
Second part is like, do I explain feminism to this right. person?
Yeah, I mean, we can all agree that, like, don't mansplain stuff. But that's not the question you're asking. Yeah, I think first and foremost, you want to figure out if the person being berated needs help and what kind of relationship you have with that person. And can you offer that? And then, you know, I mean, basically building on that, if you have a relationship with the person who's doing the berating, can you kind of pull them aside and say, like, hey, this is not cool. Like, mm-hmm. what happened there? I mean, humans are weird and it could have been anything. But, you know, I think the main thing is to figure out if the person being berated is okay.
Yeah. And then I think if you want to talk about, like, how do I talk about feminism to a person who doesn't get it or doesn't want to get it? I think if you have a relationship with somebody where you can talk to them and say, you know, hey, some of the stuff you were saying in there was making me really uncomfortable. I'd love to talk with you about that. I think the key is that you can't rock up and, like, tell them how it is, because nobody ever, regardless of, like, mansplaining angle, nobody changes their mind that way, right? And so I think maybe some of it is also being able to come to that conversation, if they're willing to have that conversation, with more of an emphasis on, like, hey, I heard some of the things you were saying and I was really uncomfortable with them. One of the things I've really learned is, or, you know, I used to really not notice these things, but something that I found out after talking to lots of women was this, or, you know, I know that might not be your experience, but there's people I know who have this experience. So you're coming at it more from the angle of saying, not like, I'm going to tell you, and more from the angle of saying, like, hey, what you said made me uncomfortable, or what you said felt hurtful to me or felt, you know, incorrect to me based off of the experiences that I have had. And, I'd like to talk to you about that and see if we can come out the other end with something better. It also might not work. But I think that when you take that moment to kind of break down the different pieces of it and say, like, okay, stopping the behavior is one thing. Education is a different question. If I want to have an educational moment with somebody, how do I do that in a way that feels human and natural and personal to me versus lecture-y, where they'll just shut down? Did we help?
Yes.
All right. So, Leslie, we are going to give you a prize pack. I also want to note before Leslie sits down, Leslie is from Kraft, and Kraft is the sponsor of the party tonight. And we just want to say, I just take a moment and say, thank you so much, Leslie, Leah, and everybody at Kraft who helped to put this thing together and support us in doing this. So thank you so much. And thank you for your question.
It's been so fun.
Right. Well, here's the deal. We like to end every episode of the show with something we are super hyped about. And sometimes it's a person who's doing something cool. And sometimes it's something like kind of mundane, like sunshine. But we always want to talk about something that we're like, what is making us feel good? And then we have a little bit of a discussion about why that is. So we are going to start out with our personal FYAs, and then we are going to move on to getting a few from some brave volunteers, and perhaps some volunteers who also want to get a prize pack. What we're looking for is we're looking for stuff that is something that made you say, F yeah, today. It could be something that you heard somebody say at the conference. It could be some little, like, act of kindness you saw between people. It could be just, like, any awesome thing that you saw, right? Now, ground rules. Keep it short, keep it posy. Like, for example, I have an F yeah.
I want to hear it.
Okay, yesterday, I was walking with Cattell. We were kind of taking a little neighborhood stroll before dinner. And I had just done my workshop. I was kind of tired out. And Cattell was like, can we stop in this jewelry store I saw? Because I think you'd really like it. And I was like, can we stop in this jewelry store? Yeah. I just, like, you know, I needed that, right? I needed to look at some pretty stuff.
I sort of know you.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But we go into this jewelry store. And that's not my F yeah. The F yeah is still coming. The F yeah is we go into this jewelry store. We're looking at jewelry. And I see this necklace, which Cattell proceeds to buy, which she's wearing right now. And it's her first time wearing this necklace. It is a set of boobs. Yeah. But it's not, they're not sexy boobs.
No.
They're like a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
They're like a good feminist boob necklace.
Yeah, they're artsy boobs.
They're like a little subversive.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're like gold plated or whatever.
So what I want to give a big F yeah to is that necklace, and also F yeah to Cattell being awesome enough to rock like a subversive boob necklace up on stage tonight despite her stage fright. Hell yeah.
Thank you. That's so nice. I also just want to mention that this is made by a local artist, and there was a little card in the box, and it said that she, with her jewelry, she likes to promote ladies feeling great in their everyday hustle. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, yes.
Agreed. Same.
So I love that. My F yeah is, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but it's being here with you. Also, I have never seen Sarah speak. I like just got chills, and I was sitting in the audience watching her today, and I was like, all like puffed up, and I was like,
oh, like my mom.
Yeah. Aww. I was like, she's fucking great. And I was like, I know her. She's my friend. She's awesome. And I'm so fucking proud of you, and I love doing this with you. So that's
Thank
my
you.
F, yeah.
Oh, okay. Those were just some demos, though. So now, do we have any volunteers who'd like to say F, yeah, to something and get a prize?
Come on.
Come on up. We're going to take the first. I think we have four. We can do four?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do
four. We can take the first four people who we can hand stuff to.
Okay. The men's restroom upstairs in this building has a typical men's sign, and underneath it says non-binary and gender-neutral people are welcome, which is I've never seen before in my life, and it's not exactly where we should be, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
So. F yeah, look at these people trying and like questioning the things that they took as normal. F yeah. All right, come on.
I think as a content person and a woman in tech, it can often be easy to feel like the victim. You're like, ugh, I'm the only one. I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody trusts me. Nobody knows my opinion. And Jessica back here said, the biggest way to make a difference and actually make an impact is to stop being the victim. And I think that completely resonated with me. It was like, all right, I'm not going to learn the tactics necessarily to like change my sprint schedule, but I'm going to stop playing the victim and be an fucking badass woman in content and technology and all of that cool shit.
Yes. F yeah.
Yes. Fuck yeah.
All right. Do we have a third volunteer?
So as someone who doesn't like public speaking but has to start doing it for my job, I found it really humbling to see Tara up on stage, and she did such a great job. And like I would have never thought you didn't like being on stage. So, congrats!
Yes, I love that. Yeah, she did a great job. Woo.
Hello, hello. I want to say a big F yeah to community and friendship. These fine people here in the front row didn't know any of them. And we just like kind of one by one today, we're like, yeah, let's go to the party tonight. And so it turned into an adventure riding the train and walking through town. And we ate at Storm Crow, and two of them got dungeon burgers where they roll dice to figure out what kind of burger they get, and we just had an awesome time.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's so great. Here's your prize pack, and we're going to give you the prize pack, even though I'm a little upset, because I was going to do a final F yeah, and it was going to be for community and for all of you here today, and so you stole my thunder. But it's okay.
It was
all right.
Perfect. We didn't even write that.
It's perfect. We did not write that. So that's amazing. And honestly, the other thing I want to say is like, F yeah to all of you just being willing to like step up and say something positive and like get excited about stuff. I think for a long time, it's like I felt often like being positive and being excited about something's not cool. It's very cool.
It's so cool.
It's very good. It's so helpful. It makes me feel so much better about the world, even when the world's really, really difficult. So it's always so helpful, I think, to like find stuff that you can still find some joy in. It doesn't mean not talking about the bad stuff, but finding that joy and making sure that we're like actually acknowledging it and acknowledging the people who are giving us that joy.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Well, that's it for the live show from the Design and Content Conference. What we couldn't share from the show was our final number, a live rendition of Lean On Me by an amazing performer, Lawrence Beeman, who's actually a top 5 competitor in America's Got Talent. And he just so happens to be the partner of a friend of ours, Jen Jeffrey. And he just so happens to have been prepared to sing on the fly. He got the entire audience up on their feet, singing along with us, dancing, and it was pretty incredible. Now, we can't share it, but we gotta thank Lawrence for that. And we also have to thank so many other people. Steve Fisher and Shannon Fisher from the Design and Content Conference, as well as everybody who was working with them and volunteering with them. Craft CMS, who sponsored the party where we held all of this. The York Theater in Vancouver, and their lovely tech team who recorded us that night. And of course, every one of the conference attendees, many of whom had never even heard about our show before they sat down and listened in. They laughed and cheered along and were just awesome. And of course, thank all of you for listening. We'll be back real soon with season 3.